Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Please be seated. Today we have a very special guest. Pastor Wendell Friest and his wife. Pastor Friest was a missionary in Taiwan for over 30 years. He was a member of the pastoral staff at Truth Lutheran Church in Taipei, Taiwan. He was a member of the faculty at China Evangelical Seminary and at the Taiwan Pastoral Training Center. He was also on the adjunct faculty in psychology and theology at Logos Evangelical Seminary in L.A. He's a graduate of the University of Nebraska and Luther Theological Seminary and Purdue University. Let's welcome up Pastor Wendell Friest.
How did you know all that about me? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much through the shedding of your blood. You have washed us clean. You've forgiven all our sins. Because of your giving your life for us on the cross, we can stand here this morning, stand before Almighty God, and offer worship and praise and speak to God. Because of you, Jesus, we can speak to God and know that in the eyes of God, that you have already declared that we are perfect in your eyes. And that's such an amazing, amazing thing that we just never cease to be kind of dumbfounded by it. That we sinful creatures can stand before you and you will say that you've already declared that we are perfect in your eyes. Thank you so much for that. Thank you also for your promise that you are here right now. Lord, you said when two or three people are gathered together in your name, you are here right now with us, and there's a lot more than two or three people here. So we know you're here, and we look forward to your speaking to us, revealing yourself to us, maybe in some new way that we haven't seen before this morning, that we can understand and know you better. So we pray that you would do that and speak to each one of us now according to our individual needs. And whatever needs we have brought into this place this morning, that you will touch those and speak to us. We ask in your name. Amen. I'd like you to look at this this passage. Boy, this English section has really grown since I was here last 5 years ago. That's amazing. And there's another service in another hour or so. Where did you all come from? That's amazing. I would like you to look at this passage once more. Matthew, okay? In the book of Matthew, I'd like you to look at this passage, Matthew 14, 22 to 33. And I want you to, as we look at this, I want you to try to see now, try to get a picture of what Jesus is really like. Now, when we look at a passage like this, very often we think, well, Jesus, he's really great. He can walk on water, and you know, that's wonderful. He can do miracles, and he's powerful, and he does a lot of other miracles bigger than that, and that's great, and that's good. But I want to ask you to try to see something a little more deeper in this than just that Jesus walks on water. I want you to try to get an understanding of what's Jesus like? How does he see? How does he look at things? How does he think? How does he act? How does he respond to situations and people? See if you can get into the mind of Jesus as we read this. I'm going to read it once more now from Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Okay, he made the disciples get in the boat, but he didn't get in the boat with them. He went off up on top of the mountain. Okay, so he sent them off by themselves. When evening came, he was there alone. Jesus was up on the mountain alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that's after midnight about, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, have you ever had an experience like that, like the disciples had in the boat? Have you ever been on a boat or a ship when the weather turned bad all of a sudden? Have you? Yeah, my wife is nodding. She knows she has. I have too. Even before I knew her, before I married her, my first experience on a ship. It was not a boat. It was a ship. You know, in the Navy, you know the difference between a boat and a ship? You know the difference? Yeah. A boat is any vessel that's small enough to put on a ship. That's the difference. But I was in a ship. The first time I went to Taiwan, 50 years ago, the first time I went to Taiwan, I was a U.S. Navy officer. I was just out of college a little bit, you know. I didn't have my sea legs. I went, you know what sea legs are? That's what you have to have to stand up on a ship. We went out of San Francisco on this big ship, out of San Francisco, and everything was very nice. We, you know, a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours actually, we had supper. Everybody was feeling pretty good. Nobody told me that about 3 or 4 hours out of San Francisco, there is this big tide that comes down from Seattle, from Washington. And it comes down out there, and as soon as the ship hits that, it starts to pitch up and down in the waves. And we were already in our bunks asleep. I was in a room with two other guys. One was a young reserve officer like me. The other was an older guy who had been in the Navy for 20, 30 years. What happens when the ship hits that tide, that rough tide, first, the bow of the ship, that's the front end, okay? The bow of the ship comes up out of the water, and then it goes down. It comes down on the water like this, boom! Just really, and then it goes down into the water, and the stern is the back of the ship, you know? The stern comes up out of the water, and there are two propellers on the stern, okay? And the two propellers come out of the water, and they start spinning in the air. Now, when the propellers are spinning in the water, that's just fine. Everything goes just smoothly. As soon as the propellers come out of the water, get up into the air, the propellers are spinning, and the whole ship goes like that. Yeah. And then the back of the ship, the stern goes down in the water, and then the bow comes out. And then the bow comes down on the water, bang! And then the propellers come out of the water. And we went through, I don't know how long we went through that. And man, the first time the bow came down on the water, boom, the other guy, who had been in the Navy just about a year longer than I was, so he didn't have much experience either, but he'd been out on ships before. We were in our bunks. As soon as the bow came down on the water, bang! He jumped out of his bunk. He started to put his pants on. He said, "We hit something. We hit something. Maybe we hit an iceberg." You know, I thought about this later. I thought, there aren't many icebergs around San Francisco. But he said, you know, he didn't know much more than I did. The other old guy, he just stayed in his bunk lying down. But my friend jumped out of his bunk. He started to put his pants on. I jumped out of my bunk, started to put my pants on, you know. But then we realized it was just this terrible weather. Oh, you know, for about 2 hours, we went through that boom and the blah, 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 you know, and that was a very, very scary feeling. Can you imagine that? Because that ship, it when it was tied up by the pier, that ship looked big. But when you get out in the middle of the ocean, that ship seems quite small, actually, on all that water. And that ship is your world. That ship is your universe. And if that goes down, there's nothing else to hold on to. Yeah. Have you ever had an experience like that? Maybe not. I don't say I hope you will have that experience, but you know, the description here in our English Bible, it says, the English description of their experience on the boat. This was a boat they were on, and it says, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, you know, it's in the Chinese Bible. If any of you know Chinese, you might want to look at this. It's very interesting. It's much more poetic, the description. It says, "In feng bu sun, bei lang yao han." Now, some of you understand that, do you? "In feng bu sun," buffeted by the waves, bei lang yao han. Okay, it when I hear that, it reminds me kind of some old Chinese poetry, or you know, four words, you know, it almost makes me think of what at Chinese New Year's time, you know, we paste these red strips on our doors, you know, gong he xin xi wan shi ru yi, something like that, four words, you know, doesn't it sound like that? It sounds kind of like that poetry, except at Chinese New Year's time, nobody pastes red strips on their door that says, "In feng bu sun, bei lang yao han." Nobody says that, but actually, if we were really honest sometimes, maybe we would really, if we're really honest, maybe we would paste up Yin Feng Bu Sun Bei Lang Yao Han, because that's kind of the way we feel in our home sometimes. It's not always Wan Shi Ru Yi. I'm sorry, Terry, where's Terrence? I'm sorry, I promised him I would not talk in Mandarin this morning. but just a little bit. Okay, now. But you see, if you can imagine the feeling of the disciples when they got out on this boat, and it's going up and down and sideways, and it looks like it's going to tip over, and they're holding on for dear life, what do you think they were feeling? Well, they must have been feeling panic. They must have been feeling panic, fear, terror, all kinds of terrible feelings, you know. And now, maybe you have not had the experience like that on a boat or a ship, but maybe you have had that kind of experience in other situations where you really felt scared, where you really felt a little not very optimistic. Things are just not going right, and you maybe even have felt a little terrified. Maybe you've had that experience sometimes in your life. If you have not, I promise you, you will someday. I promise you. Okay, so now, they were feeling terrified, they were scared, and then besides that, you know what else I think they were feeling? Besides terrified and scared and panicky, can you guess what else they might have been feeling? I think they might have been feeling a little angry. Angry at who? Jesus, it's because of you that we got into this mess and you went up on the mountain and sent us out here on the ocean. We did what you said. We obeyed. When you obey Jesus, that's not the way it's supposed to be. When you obey Jesus, everything's supposed to be, oh, everything's Wan Shi Ru Yi. It's supposed to be beautiful and happy, and everything is at peace, and everything goes just fine the way you want it, because you obeyed Jesus. And so they obeyed Jesus, and now they're holding on for dear life on this boat. That's not the way it's supposed to be, is it? Well, yeah, they had a few things to learn. So they were probably a little angry at Jesus. Now, in that kind of a crisis, what do you think they needed? What did they need? What did they need most? Now, don't tell me they needed for the weather to change and the waves to go down, because that was not something that was in their control, right? That wasn't something that they could control. What they needed most of all was faith. They needed faith, because their faith was just about all gone. Now, how could they get faith? How could they get faith? Could they get faith by encouraging each other? If they said to each other, you know, if we were on the boat and I said to you, now have faith, have faith, have faith, and you said to me, have faith, have faith, have faith, would that work? You know, some things just don't work that way. Some things don't work that you, it doesn't, some, it, some things don't work in the way that you just try harder and harder and harder, and the more you try, the more you can get it. Have you ever tried to tell, have you ever lain down on your bed at night and said to yourself, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep? Have you ever tried that? Have you ever, you who are parents, have you ever put your child down on the bed and said, go to sleep, go to sleep? Did it work? Huh? Did it work? No, it doesn't work. Some things don't work that way, you know. we can't say, let there be faith, and there is faith. God can say, let there be light, and there is light. I'm not God. I can't say, let there be faith, and there is faith. But when Jesus came, everything started to change. Why did it change? Why did things start to change when Jesus came? It was because of the words that He spoke. The words that He spoke. And things started to change. Now, there's a good biblical basis for saying that, because in Romans chapter 12 it says faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. You know that? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the word of Christ. So Jesus came, He spoke, and things started to change. And he said, it is I, don't be afraid. And if it was you or me, in our kind of ungrammatical English, it would have been, "It's me. Don't be afraid." That's not what you learned in high school English, but that's what we would say. Okay, it's going to be okay. So just calm down. I am here now, and things are going to change. And things did start to change. And faith started to kind of rise up in them. And they started to believe it's going to be okay. Oh, and they started to relax. And they started to let their breath out. And they started to untense their muscles. And it's very interesting what Jesus said here. In our English translation, it says, "It is I." And the Chinese translation is basically the same. But if you were to look at the original language of what Jesus said is very interesting. In Greek, he said, "Ego, eimi." Does anybody know what ego? Ego, ego. You know ego, the word ego? What does that mean in Latin or Greek? I, okay? Okay, he said, "Ego, eimi." Now, somebody said, "I." Do you know what "eimi" means in Greek? You don't have to know that. It means, he said, "I am." Now, the English, it sounds too strange in English, so they translated, "It is I." But the actual words he said is, "I am." Or you could even translate it as, he said, "I am I." Now, does that make any lights light up in your head? Anybody remember the Old Testament where these words appear? "I am." Or, "I am I." Okay, I see some faces lighting up. Or, "I am who I am." Anybody remember where that appears in the Old Testament? Yeah, who said that? God. Who did he say it to? Moses. Oh man, this boy, these people. You have a good pastor. You have a very good pastor. Okay, now. He didn't say "It is I." He said, "I am. Don't be afraid." Now that should give you a clue. That should give you a clue about what Jesus was telling them. What was he saying? What was he saying? "Take courage. I am. Don't be afraid." He was telling them that the one who is here right now that you see is not just a good man, okay, not just a good man, a great teacher, a wonderful shepherd, a wonderful rabbi, a great carpenter, you know, the one that you have followed and believed in as a disciple is the one who created heaven and earth, the Almighty God. So he said, "I am," and that means I'm here right now. You can, for me, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Okay, now, I want to stop a minute and just draw some preliminary conclusions here. Okay, the first thing, the next time you need faith, when is the next time you will need faith? Probably tomorrow, maybe this afternoon. You need faith every day. You need faith every day. The next time you need faith, don't waste time saying to yourself, "Have faith, have faith, have faith." Don't waste time. The next time you need faith, go to the Word of God. And where is the Word of God? Here, the Bible. That's what will give you faith, when you know the Word of God. Okay? The second point is that you should remember, every time you read the Bible, every time you open the Bible, from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, every time you open the Bible, it is God saying to you, "I am here right now, talking to you." Okay? When you read the Bible, it's not to study some kind of philosophy of religion and that kind of stuff. It's to meet God. God says, "I am here now, and I'm going to talk to you. Now listen to me." That's the first thing. The second thing is that every time you open the Bible and you say, okay, God, you are here. Now you're going to talk to me. The second thing to remember is that the God who's talking to you is Jesus. It's Jesus. Because the whole Bible is about Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He said that himself. The whole Bible is talking about me. He said that in the Gospel of John. So the one who says, I'm here, now I'm going to talk to you, that God, he's not just some kind of a blur, an oblong gray blur, you know, that somewhere, somebody in the great somewhere who maybe is, I don't know what he's like, you know. The one who speaks to you in the Bible, the God who speaks to you in the Bible who says, I am here now speaking to you, he has a face. He has a face. It's the face of a first century Jewish carpenter. It's a face that you know. And you have met him. You met him. And you saw him in the manger. You saw him on the cross. Now that's really important. So you don't have to guess what God is like. You know, I was saying to the people in the couples retreat yesterday, you know, because of Jesus, we don't have to guess. What is God like? We don't have to look at the flowers and the trees and the waterfall and the mountains and all the beautiful things of earth and guess what God is like. No. You know, the Greek philosophers, they had their guesses. Socrates and Aristotle, they guessed what God is like. Confucius had some guesses about what God is like. Did you know that? Confucius didn't say very much about it, but he had some guesses. He didn't call him God. He called him heaven or sky, you know. But he had his guesses. But you don't have to guess. The God that has says, I'm here now, I'm going to talk to you, that you believe in, that God is the God that you know as Jesus. Oh, I love the songs we sang this morning. Jesus, Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. Okay, that is the God that you know. He is the same God. So no matter what you're reading, you're reading in the Bible, you're reading in the Old Testament, you're reading Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. You know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That the God who says that is the one who said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me and I know my sheep and you know me. He's the same God who was crucified on the cross and used the very through the very last drop of blood that he shed, used that to say, I love you. I love you. I love you and I will never let you go and I will never change my mind about that. So the first thing when you need faith, go to the Bible. Remember that when you go to the Bible, it's not doing research in philosophy of religion. It's to meet God. And then remember that the God you meet in the Bible is Jesus. And you can know Him. You can really know Him like you know your best friend. He's a real person. And you can know how He thinks and acts and the way He does things. And the last thing, That when you open the Bible, because you need faith and you read the Word of God and you know that this is Jesus speaking to you and you can know Jesus just like your best friend, the last thing you need to know is the first thing He says to you, the first thing He's always going to say to you is, don't be afraid. Oh man. Have you ever noticed how many times that sentence appears in the Bible? Old Testament and New Testament. Don't be afraid. Can you guess? I looked it up in one of my concordances, that do not fear in the Bible appears over 80 times. Oh boy, when the angels came to the shepherds, the first thing they said was, do not fear. You know, when the angel came to Mary, do not fear. When Jesus was risen from the dead, do not fear. It's all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, do not fear. 80 times! Okay, if a teacher in one of your classes says one sentence over 80 times in the course of the semester, you can pretty well guess that that must be a pretty important point. You can guess that will be on the final exam, can't you? Okay, so that's what he's saying. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Whatever your situation is, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, no matter how things look, everything looks terrible, everything is going down the drain, don't be afraid. You and I you and I, Jesus, we're going to face this together, and I'm going to bring you through it, and you will have peace when I bring you through it. Okay, now, those are the first conclusions I want to draw. Now, let's go back to the story. Jesus has come. Everything has started to change. It's going to be okay. And so we start to relax. Oh, we let out our breath. We're not going to be afraid. And we start to feel peace, perfect peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is here. And then Peter gets all excited. And he gets all worked up and he gets all inspired. And he says, oh man, I think I'd like to do an experiment. I think if it's really you, I'd like to walk on the water too. You know, I think I've got the idea now. I've got it. I think I understand now. I want to give it a try. How can I try it? Okay. And we feel like saying, Peter, no. Peter, don't be so stupid. Everything was okay. Everything has settled down. Everything has calmed down. You're going to mess everything up again. And if it was some of us, might take Peter aside and give him a little lecture on theology. I would probably give him a little lecture on theology because I'm a theology teacher. I said, Peter, no, your theology is all wrong. Your theology is all wrong. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Peter, come on now. This is not about, faith is not about just kind of having fun walking on the water and having a good old time up there. You don't need to walk on water. It's not going to do you any good to walk on water. It's not going to do anybody else good to walk on. Just sit down. But it's very interesting. We're getting all nervous again. We're getting all scared again. We're getting all upset. Peter, you're going to go down. It's interesting that Jesus does not scold Peter, does he? He doesn't scold Peter. He doesn't say, Peter, don't be stupid. He doesn't point out all of Peter's mistakes in theology. He says, okay, come on. Okay, come on over. You know. And then we feel surprised again. And we start to feel very happy because he's doing it. He's walking on the water. And we relax again. We let out our breath. And we relax. And he's walking on the water. And then a couple seconds later, what happens? Doesn't work. And he starts to go down. And he's going under. And we say, oh, Peter, I knew it wouldn't work. And we get all nervous and scared again. And you know, now, so he goes down. Now, why did Peter not succeed? Why did Peter not succeed? Well, it probably not just because his theology was bad. His theology was quite questionable, I think. That's true. But it wasn't just a matter of theology. It says because he started to look at the wind. Well, that's an interesting statement. Have you ever seen the wind? I've never seen the wind, but he could see that the wind was quite big, so I think it was because he looked at the waves and the seawater and those white caps and everything was going like that. That's when he quit looking at Jesus, didn't he? He quit looking at Jesus. He looked around at how terrible everything was. He started to go down. Anyhow, he started to sink. And he was going underwater. And so we shake our heads and we say, oh, I knew it was going to happen. We feel very disappointed. We feel very sad for Peter. We said he's going to fail. It's very interesting. Peter says, Lord, save me. And what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Peter's going down under the water. He says, Lord, save me. Does Jesus say, well, I'm sorry, you didn't have enough faith. Too bad. I guess you just have to sink down and drown. It's too bad. Bye-bye. You know, he doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say that. He doesn't blame or scold or rebuke Peter at all. Even when he said, "Oh, you have little faith," that's a terrible translation, but there's no way to put it into English or Chinese. "Oh, you have little faith." Actually, in the Greek, it's kind of like a nickname. "Oh, hey there, little faith." You know, "小心子." It's kind of like a nickname. But anyhow, just, "Oh, come on. And he reaches out and pulls him up. Oh, and we relax again. And we start to let out our breath. I remember when my three children, when they were small, we used to love to go swimming. And very often, when they were five, 6 years old, you know, they couldn't swim very well, but they would love to stand on the edge of the pool, and I would stand in the water, and the water was deeper than, they couldn't stand up in the water, you know, they were not tall enough, but I would stand down there in the water. I don't know if I can demonstrate this. They would be up on the edge of the pool, and I would stand in the water, and they would love to jump into my hands. And they knew, you know, they could jump in the water. They didn't have to be afraid because they could jump into my hands and I would catch them. But once in a while, you know, they got so excited about jumping in the water. And sometimes I was talking to somebody else. And, you know, I'd be talking and they didn't notice that I was not watching. I didn't notice that they were going to jump. They'd run up and they'd jump down. I remember one time, when one of my kids, I was talking to somebody, and she jumped in and went down under the water, and then the head came bobbing up, and she said, Daddy, oh my, I was, in half a second, I turned around, I spun around, I grabbed her. She said, "Daddy," and I grabbed her like that. You know, what I want you to see in this story is not just that Jesus can walk on water, that's wonderful, but that Jesus, that's what Jesus is like. And whatever Jesus is like, that's what God is like, because Jesus is God. Jesus is God incarnate. So, you know, a couple of chapters before this story, Matthew describes Jesus this way. He says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick you will not snuff out." You need to know that Jesus is that kind of a Lord and that kind of God. Sometimes the things that happen to you in life are going to make you feel like you're a bruised reed, or you're a wick that's just about to go out. You get discouraged, you lose heart, everything is going wrong, and you don't see any hope. And then you know that God said, "I know the plans I have for you, to give you a future and a hope, to give you peace. I will bless you." You know that God said that, but it just doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't seem like it. In your life, in your family, in your interpersonal relationships, in your work, in your job. Some of you guys, people that are a bit older than all these young people, you know, you open up the newspaper and you see, a couple months ago, you see in India, some terrorists got into a hotel and killed 200 people, and you think, "Yeah, boy, I wonder when that's going to happen in New Jersey, huh?" Or you see the economy is just going down the tubes, and you wonder, "Am I going to have a job next week?" Or maybe you already got laid off. And you wonder, you know, where your retirement, okay, your retirement money is already gone, or where is it now, or where is it going to be? Will it be there when I need it? Some of you younger people, you know, you wonder, "Well, will I be able to get into a good college? If I get into a good college, will I be able to graduate? If I graduate, will I be able to get a job?" You know, sometimes it looks like life is just not the way it's supposed to be, and you just feel scared, and sometimes you feel like the land that you're standing on is not like ground at all. It's more like water, and you feel like you're going to go down. Now, what's really important when things happen, and when you start to feel like things are not working out right. Things are not working out right, and you start to get scared. Just remember, all you have to say is, "Lord, save me. You don't have to say, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith. That doesn't do any good. Say, Lord. In fact, you don't even have to say those three words, Lord, save me. All you have to say is one word, Lord. Just like my kid said, Daddy. They didn't say, Daddy, save me. Daddy. All you have to say is, Lord. And you know, He is going to reach out there and pull you up, and you're going to be okay. And you're going to keep on following. You know, there's another sentence in the Bible. I don't know how many times it appears in the Bible. I didn't check it before I came today. But you know, there's a word, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, doesn't that appear in the Bible many times? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'll bet that's a great number of times in the Bible. He's going to reach out. He's going to pull you up. You're going to be walking up there with Him, and He's going to keep you up there. He does not guarantee everything in your life is going to be wine and roses. He doesn't guarantee that everything is going to be the way you want it, everything is going to be perfect, but He does guarantee that He will make everything work together for good for you. He will make all things work together for good for you. And that no matter what kind of situation you meet, what kind of wind and waves, and how, no matter how scared or discouraged you feel, He is going to be there, and He's going to pull you up. And all you have to say is, Lord, and He'll be there. Okay, now, and He will keep you. He will keep you in His love and in His safety of His power all the days of your life and all through eternity. That is His promise. That's what God is like. And you can say, I am blessed because I know whom I have believed. You know that phrase, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He's able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. So that's the good news that God wants to give you this morning. Put it in your heart and relax. And no, it's not that your faith is so great. It is that the Lord that you have faith in, that He is so great. You understand that? It's not that you have such great faith, but the Lord you have faith in is so great. So you just have to turn to Him and He'll be there. That's the good news for you this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You again. I thank You again because everything You said, everything You did on earth was just to let us see God. To see God as we could never see Him otherwise. And to know that when we look at You and see You, we see the Father, we see God. And to know that You are so powerful, not just powerful, but You are so good and loving and kind and merciful that every time we turn to You and say, Lord, You are there to grasp us and hold our hand and bring us up and walk through with us through everything, no matter what happens in life, and make it all turn out and work together for good. Lord, I pray that You would bless each one of these people this morning who have heard this news, and help them to take that, to just trust you in their hearts that You are that. That's what You are like, and You never change. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.